Well, now the subject is hi-fi once again, and Adrian Hope has been along to the press showing of what is to be the Hi-Fi 79 Spring Exhibition, which starts when, as far as the public's concerned?
It starts this Friday. It's Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. The Cunard Hotel, which is Hammersmith area of London, admission free, and it's Londoners... pretty well only chance to see some of the hi-fi sites and, well, see them free, which is always can't be bad.
Now, I'm sure there's far more to see there than you have possibly got time to talk about tonight. So where would you like to start?
Yeah, I've limped in here, having been round there. Yep, it's interesting, quite a few of the things we've been talking about over the last month or so have now turned up at the show. So it might be quite a good idea. People can actually get a chance of hearing and seeing what we've been talking about. Okay, one of the things is pure metal powder tape. We've talked about that.
Yes.
Which, to remind anyone who wasn't listening, pure metal powder tape is magnetic cassette tape, but instead of being coated with an oxide, as is normal, iron or chrome oxide, it's coated with tiny particles of pure metal. Okay, two differences. One, it costs about five times as much as ordinary tape. That's one. Second difference, it can produce much higher quality, provided you play it on the right kind of cassette deck. There is absolutely no point in anyone going out and spending a fiver on a C90 metal tape unless they've got the right kind of cassette deck.
And is that now available?
Yeah, there is one. I went to a press launch of it the other day, and it is being used by the people demonstrating the metal tape at the exhibition. And this cassette deck, there are two models that will handle metal powder tape, and one of them is quite remarkable because it's got a built-in computer. Now, everything these days seems to have a built-in computer. I think the novelty soon will be when something hasn't got a microprocessor inside it. But this has a very good reason for having a microprocessor. It's that it sets itself up to the tape you load into the machine completely automatically. And one of the saddest things about this whole cassette tape revolution over the last few years, where better and better cassette tapes have been produced and higher fi from cassette tape recorders, is that unless you use the right tape for the machine and set it up properly, you get pretty rotten quality anyway.
Yes.
Right. So what this Japanese firm has done, they've built the microprocessor into the cassette recorder. You load the tape in, and it doesn't matter what the tape is. It can be iron oxide, chrome oxide, or pure metal, and it doesn't matter what brand name. Mm. And it automatically runs the tape for about 25 seconds, and it puts kind of test signals on the tape, reads them off, and the memory of the computer compares them and says, OK, this is the way we set the machine up, and it sets it up perfectly for that tape.
What a marvellous idea, and obviously a marvellous price to go with it, I imagine.
Yes, I'm sorry to say £495, but the good news is that once one firm has done that in an upmarket machine, then inevitably their rivals are going to do it, and the price is going to come down.
And it should then become standard pretty well.
I would think so. It's so logical that this should become standard. In fact, it's the first time I've ever seen a cassette deck. I thought, well, I can afford it, I'll buy that.
It does sound exciting. Right, moving on from there, what do we come to?
Yeah, loudspeakers. Mm-hmm. Always an interesting one, because this country, we really do make very good loudspeakers. It's one of the things we do very well. We've got some advantage over the foreign countries because, of course, it's expensive for Japan to ship loudspeakers to England. But even without that advantage, we make them well. And we've got several firms that are using computers very sensibly to help design their speakers. And more important, to keep a tab on how the things are coming off the production line. Because as one manufacturer said to me today, it's very easy to make a lovely prototype loudspeaker in your garden shed, send it out for review, and send it out to the dealers, and they all order 1,000. But if you can't keep all those 1,000 as good as the prototype, you very soon go out of business.
Yes.
Okay, so British firms being sensible about this, and two very nice ideas. One firm is now building overload protection into loudspeakers. That isn't a gimmick, that's very useful, because loudspeakers can very easily be burnt out. They're not burnt out when you and I are playing around sensibly and listening to music under normal circumstances. Mm-hmm. But as the manufacturer put it, when mum and dad are out on Saturday night and the kids have a party and they turn the volume control flat out and the tone control's all to the right, and you come home and you've got one burnt out loudspeaker. Mm-hmm. So manufacturers have been putting fuses in over the years. The idea of the fuse blows if the speaker gets overloaded. But again, he said, the problem is that once the fuse blows, what people do is they, instead of putting like a tiny little 1-amp fuse back in, they think, oh, what the heck, we'll put a 13-amp mains fuse in. And of course, the fuse never blows again. The loudspeaker.
The speaker does, yes.
So they've built a very simple, very elegant electronic circuit into the loudspeaker. And if you overload it, what it does is it just drops the level down until the speaker's recovered from the overload you put into it. In other words, it's saying, don't be such a silly fool.
Yeah, marvellous. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, now, how do they demonstrate the speakers, which may sound a silly question.
Ah, no. Well, it's anything but silly, because, for a start, half of them demonstrate the wretched things far too loud.
Mm.
I've come away with a headache as well as sore feet, because they all seem to imagine that if you can wreck the ears of the listener, that proves it's good. That isn't so. People don't listen very loud. Good tip for anyone before they buy a loudspeaker is actually ask what it sounds like quiet.
Yeah.
And some loudspeakers sound terrible quiet, but wonderful loud.
But what are they playing through them?
One firm, another British firm, pleased to say, has got a lovely idea. Now, their UK product manager also plays the clarinet and the bass clarinet, and he's a pretty good all-round musician. So what they've done, they've gone to a lot of trouble to record him playing his bass clarinet and his ordinary clarinet under very highly controlled scientific circumstances out in a special chamber at the Building Research Laboratory, incidentally. They used their echo-free chamber out there. They spend a week doing this to produce a few bits of music of him playing. But what they do is they replay those tapes, and he is playing live alongside the loudspeaker, so that the visiting audience gets a chance to hear the recording through the loudspeaker versus the live sound. And he plays duets with himself, and I would recommend that, because that really sorts the men from the boys in loudspeakers.
Mm.
Very few people do it. I think very few people dare do it. This firm's doing it. I hasten to add the loudspeakers themselves cost about £800. But they have proved, without doubt, that it's virtually indistinguishable. And that's one heck of an achievement for a loudspeaker.
Right, yes. Well, let's ourselves move on to some music here, because it's relevant to another aspect that I know you want to talk about.
Yeah.
One of the records that you've brought along with you features the group Steely Dan. And we're going to play a track titled Black Friday.
The gray men when they die from the 14th floor.
That was Steely Dan with Black Friday. And whether or not you actually like the music is almost irrelevant to what we want to talk about. I think you will have appreciated, particularly if, as I hope you're listening on a good hi-fi tuner, that the clarity there was quite remarkable for a gramophone record. Now, this is obviously akin to the records that you brought back from Los Angeles.
That's it. It's in the States. People's hi-fi systems at home, they're getting better and better, and they've got fed up to the back teeth with playing mucky records on them. So this enterprising firm that we spoke about a few weeks ago has started licensing the original master tapes from the recording companies and reissuing them, and really what it amounts to is making a proper job of the reissue.
Yes, but as I recall, you said having them pressed in Japan.
Right, they're having them cut in recut, the lacquers, that's the transfer from the tape to the disc master. They're having that cut in America with a special process which runs the cutting lathe at half speed, and the tape goes through at half speed. They don't have any of that limiting and equalization that makes it sound so dull, and they're having the discs pressed in Japan, limited edition, using a special vinyl.
Yes, yes.
And the pressings really are of remarkable quality. They've been selling in the States for about $15, and I said it couldn't be long before some enterprising soul brings them into the UK, and some enterprising soul is now bringing them into the UK. Bad news, cost £15 a time. Mm. They are on display and demonstration at the show. I would think that for somebody who has got a really good hi-fi system, it might be worth buying one.
Yes.
And the Steely Dan's a particularly good example, because that group don't use much messing around in the studio. They put their sound down in a very live, natural way. Mm. And the reports I had were that this is the first time they've really been happy with that LP that Katie Lied.
Yes.
That this is, they now feel that's the sound we got in the studio, and now the public can hear what we actually wanted them to hear.
So you're suggesting that for an outlay of £15, you could provide yourself with a yardstick to show you how rotten all your other records are.
It's a pretty sick thought, isn't it, really? But that, at least, people would get dissatisfied with what some of the record companies are churning
out. And grumble about it.
Yes.
Yes, good. I quite agree.
Our mutual hobby horse.
Indeed it is. Now, anything else in the recording line that you found of interest?
Well, there's something else coming up in the recording line. Another enterprising British company which has so far been specialising in selling specialist discs like direct cuts and this type of highly hi-fi recording has started making some of their own. And they're making them using what's called the dummy head or binaural technique. Now, the BBC has put out some transmissions this. I think probably the best thing is we talk about it a little more some other time.
Yes.
Essentially what it is, you use microphones in either the ears of a human head or the ears of a dummy head, and you record what the listener would have heard at the front of the stage. Then when you replay it, if you listen on headphones, you get a very reasonable approximation of what you would have heard at the front of the stage. Firm has done some very enterprising recordings. One is of Humphrey Lyttelton Band at the Chichester Jazz Festival. And I'm hoping that in a couple of weeks' time we can perhaps get some test pressings, suggest that listeners put headphones on.
Oh, yes, yes.
And see how it listens.
That sounds a super idea. One thing, a supplementary question that I might well have asked you earlier, actually. Mm-hmm. You came back from Japan and you were talking last week about how small was beautiful, and you said it wouldn't be long before we saw smaller hi-fi equipment in this country. Was there any at the show?
It's not yet really started. And I particularly because there aren't that many large Japanese firms exhibiting at the show.
Right.
There are more British firms, which makes it a particularly interesting exhibition. The big Japanese conglomerates, the monolith, they haven't really entered into this show. And one of them explained to me, you see, that the rooms are all the same size. And he said to me, we want to be bigger than everyone else. It's not such a bad thing, but we've got a lot of the smaller firms there. So I don't think that's a barometer. I feel there's already one Japanese firm started to sell the miniatures. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, I feel that my hunch is we'll be seeing more by the end of the year.
Right. Well, then was there anything else on display that is something you've talked about on this programme?
Yes. I mentioned previously what one might call the magic cure for static electricity. Now, anyone who's ever owned a gramophone record and lives in a pretty dry atmosphere knows that it's this awful vicious circle. You clean the record and that generates static, which drags more dust in from the air. You clean it and that generates more static. For years, people have been selling cures, and I put the word cures in quotes, which sometimes work, but usually they work simply because it damps the record and effectively raises the humidity of the room around the record. But there was a firm, another British firm, pleased to say, from up north, launched a product, must be about 6 months ago now, which is a fluid that you puff it on, costs about 15p a record. It doesn't make the record sticky and gungy. The fluid dries immediately, but it really doesn't have any static. It kills static stone dead. And I'm a cynic by nature, and a lot of my colleagues are cynics, and we've been looking for a fault in this product for 6 months, and we still haven't found it. There have been one or two suggestions of faults. One chap said it produces a light dust on the record. Well, actually, what had happened was he'd put the product on the gramophone record, and it had released all the dust that had been held down in the grooves by the static. So he thought, oh, it creates a dust. Actually, it doesn't. Once you've put the fluid on, the magic fluid, you have to clean the record a couple of times to get rid of the dust that you freed. Mm. Now, that's on display, and what's good is that they're very good scientific tests. These people went into it scientifically. They said, we're going to make a claim, and you can shoot us down in flames if you can prove our claim is wrong. And they back it up scientifically, go along there, have a look at it, and whenever anybody tries to sell you, talking to anyone out there, when they try and sell you a cure for static, ask for a bit of proof. Because there are so many cures for static that actually make it worse.
Well, these people are really proving it.
I still can't find anything wrong with it.
Well, I hope you don't. Yes. I'm sure you're not suggesting that in perhaps after 2 years your records dissolve.
No. No, they've tried it to give them, and we must make that clear, that they put this product out for tests for a year prior to releasing it.
Fair enough.
And that's 6 months ago, and there's still no sign of a problem.
So if you fancy sore feet and a headache and lots of interesting things to see, the Hi-Fi Spring Fair can be seen from Friday, isn't it?
From Friday, yep.
And it's free.
It isn't.
Adrian Hope, thank you very much.
Thank you.